Afghan police say a roadside bomb killed a district police chief and his two bodyguards in Helmand province today, the second attack in as many days. The Taliban has been targeting Afghan security forces, and they may be behind this attack as well. So how do Afghans hear about these attacks? Well, if you live in southern Afghanistan, you may have heard the news on a radio network that's become a tool in the war for the hearts and minds, the war between NATO and the Taliban. IEEE Spectrum Magazine's Glenn Zorpet has our story from Kandahar.
It sounds like any other popular radio broadcast in Afghanistan, but this one is different. The station's funding comes from NATO. Its general manager used to work at CNN, and its studios are at Kandahar Airfield, one of the largest NATO bases here.
It was created to provide an alternative to the listeners of southern Afghanistan who speak Pashto.
Ted Iliff manages the station. He's an American who works for Strategic Social, a contractor to the U.S. Army, which is running the operation for NATO.
It's intended to be a news, information, and cultural station, finding a niche in the market for local and regional news and local and regional cultural affairs to try to give a local flavor to the listeners that they don't seem to be getting from the other broadcasters.
Remember the golden age of radio? You probably weren't old enough. But here in Afghanistan, the golden age of radio is now. That's because the average Afghan can't read, can't afford a television, and has only sporadic access to electricity. So NATO is making sure it is filling that enormous void, especially when it comes to news programming.
News is a huge area of interest for the population here.
Major Thomas Wood is the chief of broadcast media for the U.S. Army's 10th Mountain Division, stationed at Kandahar. He says in many Afghan villages, news is still delivered by word of mouth.
Due to the terrain and due to the lack of mass transportation, the populations generally have not been able to gather news from different areas. They get word of mouth as people travel through. As they're being exposed to radio broadcast in particular, there's a hunger for more information about what's going on in the world. It's connecting the population from one village to another and one from one district to another.
Wood says the military has set up roughly 100 transmitting stations throughout Afghanistan. Many are what are known as a radio in a box, or RIAB. Each RIAB consists of a simple transmitter, an antenna, a laptop computer, and a small diesel generator. The whole setup would fit in a walk-in closet. The broadcast signal is sent to the RIABs via the internet, typically from a regional station, such as the one here at Kandahar, where news and music programs are produced by a staff of Afghan professionals. Wartime radio has come a long way from World War II and the days of Tokyo Rose. That was the name for a group of Japanese women who played American popular music and broadcast messages of foreboding to Allied soldiers in the Pacific.
Greetings, everybody. This is your number one enemy, your favorite playmate, Orphan Ann, a radio soldier.
Like Tokyo Rose, NATO's radio operations in Afghanistan are a form of psychological operations, or PSYOPs. But NATO's broadcasts are more subtle than the dire warnings that soldiers heard in the Pacific 70 years ago. I asked Ted Iliff, who manages the station at Kandahar, how NATO's sponsorship affects how he covers the news.
It doesn't a lot, very much at all. There are certain themes that they want to emphasize, they think are important. We're aware of those themes.
What are some of those themes?
Oh, governance, security, education, agriculture in terms of poppy eradication. Reintegration in terms of opposition insurgents joining the government and putting down their weapons. And we know what the sponsor is interested in, but at the same time, we do news. And they know that we've built as much of a firewall as we can between news and other information so that we can maintain our credibility as best as any news organization can.
Make no mistake, NATO isn't footing the multi-million dollar bill to run RIAB stations in Afghanistan simply because it wants Afghans to have better news choices. This network is a crucial part of NATO's information war here. Taliban and insurgent forces are present in many of the country's scattered rural villages, and in those villages, especially, NATO needs to counter Taliban media's version of events.
We tell to the people that in Afghanistan, it's not only fighting is going on.
Mohammed Sarwar is an announcer at the rehab station at the governor's palace in Kandahar.
If you see beside, there is improvement came in education. In the time of Taliban, there was no school. But if you see now, there are hundreds of schools are there, and they are open. Even the girls, they are going to their schools. Boys are going construction works. There was no road, but you see there are roads are there. And if you go to the roads, public construction works are going on in government side. So these are our target, is there to tell to the peoples that Afghanistan, day by day, they are improving. Now, sometimes the Taliban say something against government? So we have to tell them the reality. This is not the reality. This is the reality.
For an example, when a pastor in Florida burned a Quran last March, 3 days of rioting across Afghanistan followed. In Kandahar alone, 16 people were killed and more than 100 injured. Major Wood says Riab took on the Taliban directly.
You had, Taliban media putting out things along the line of there was multiple instances of it. It wasn't just an isolated case. And that was something that was being perpetrated not only by people back in the States, but being done by forces here in Afghanistan. And, you have Kandahar Media Center and the local journalists who redress those accusations, and by providing honest and open reporting are able to counter that.
To make sure Afghans get the message, NATO has handed out thousands of little green AM/FM radios that can be powered by either the sun or a hand crank. Someday, after NATO leaves, the Afghan government will be left with rehab scattered across the country. Military officials here suggest that those radio stations could form the basis of a new public radio network in Afghanistan. So who knows? Maybe it's not far-fetched to imagine a day when Afghans will be able to tune in to a Pashto language version of Here and Now.
Glenn Zorpet of IEEE Spectrum, the magazine of technology insiders. To see pictures of NATO's radio in a box, go to hereandnow.org. And we just want to take a second here to offer condolences to our friend Emily Rooney, just down the dial from us here in Boston. Much is being made of her father, Andy Rooney, longtime commentator for 60 Minutes, who died this past weekend. The words curmudgeon, crabby, always accompany his name, but I have another memory. When Emily's husband, reporter Kirby Perkins, died way too young back in 1997, I happened to leave the service with Andy. He looked up from under those bushy brows, those eyes that were always a little watery, now filled with tears, and said, "Isn't this the damnedest thing? It should have been me. It should have been me." Andy Rooney was 92. Back in a minute, here now.